Good evening. We're closing out this evening the lesson we began on Sunday, this morning, on brotherly kindness, brotherly love, depending on the translation that you might be using. In the course of this examination, we made mention of the fact that as we look at these things that we've called the Christian graces, or what are traditionally known as the Christian graces, we're really not suggesting that you have to have one in its entirety before you go up to the next level of virtue or knowledge or self-control or perseverance, and then coming to godliness onto brotherly kindness. But what we are noting is that because of the building up of the previous one, we find that it's easier to enrich our lives with the next that's on this rung, if you will, here in 2 Peter, the first chapter. And we've looked over the course of the weeks of these various definitions and how they are affecting our lives as children of God. This morning we talked about brotherly love by understanding the fact that without doubt there are scriptures that reference the need for it within our lives. You can't deny it. In fact, I don't think anybody would want to deny it. But we also talked about not only the passages that are clearly set forth for us, but the fact that as a result of having brotherly kindness toward one another, it really becomes a baseline within our lives, and we understand that there are relationships within a congregation that can be deeper than other relationships in the congregation, and it in no way suggests that there's a lack of brotherly affection or kindness with one as opposed to another, simply because for any number of reasons, we might have something more in common and therefore a deeper affection, a deeper relationship with some in the congregation rather than others. And the flip side is to remember that we should not be offended if there are some who might want to have a deeper relationship with them, and for whatever their reasons might be, they're interested in a deeper relationship with others. They may not feel the closeness and commonality that we want to develop, and we shouldn't be offended about that. That's easy to say because we as humans are sometimes very sensitive to these things, but it's the truth. We simply need to be willing to recognize that it's our responsibility to have that brotherly kindness as we go about our lives with other Christians. I also made mention of the fact that I think that when we talk about brotherly kindness, he's talking specifically about the relationships we have within a congregation. Now, obviously, it's going to also include Christians from other places, other congregations, other parts of our country, other parts of the world, if you will. But it's not, I don't think, a reference to the idea of the brotherhood of mankind as they have God as their Father and Creator of all. I think it's talking about the spiritual relationship that we find ourselves in. We gave a very simple definition for what this brotherly kindness is. It is the idea of having affection for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And as we look at the word affection, we're not looking at anything that would suggest some untoward relationship with others, but rather that which defines who we are in Christ in relation to other Christians. So we looked at the fact that clearly the scriptures talked about it, and then as we looked closer at it, we examined the fact that indeed there are those things that we have in common with others. This evening, as we conclude this little series, we want to take note of the fact that there are signs when brotherly affection, brotherly kindness, is beginning to diminish within a person. It may at times be something that we need to recognize within ourselves. It may at other times be something we need to recognize in the life of another. And if we see it diminishing within our own lives, or if we see it diminishing in the life of another, I think it's important that we take it seriously. That we not simply sit back and say, well, that's what they're doing or whatever's going on in their life. Okay. You know, they're not out committing some big sin. This is important. It's so important that the Holy Spirit has given through Peter the instruction to us of this particular Christian grace that we're to add to our lives. There are some things that I think can be a sign that something's going on within the relationship of an individual to those within the congregation. One might be quite simply the neglecting of assembling together. Oftentimes there's something deeper at play in what's going on in their life. There may be some sin that they're trying to come to grips with or can't come to grips with, and therefore they're just not wanting to come around people that are going to point out to them things they need to do in their lives, changes they need to make within their lives. And so what they end up doing is just not coming around them. But it also may, in relation to the lesson, it may be that an individual, in not wanting to develop the relationship they should with other Christians, just avoids altogether the assembly, or not wanting to deal with a conflict that might be hindering the development of brotherly kindness, they just decide they're going to avoid the assembly altogether. You may think that that's a strange possibility or not really something that's going to happen, but I think that we probably, at least a number of men or women, probably have seen it, where somebody gets mad at another member of the congregation. One of the strangest things is the first time I ever heard somebody use this as an excuse. And once I started preaching, the thing that baffled me, and I expressed this moment of being baffled, is, okay, you're having this problem with brotherly kindness with this member, and so you're going to turn your back on the Lord? You're going to turn your back on His church? You're going to turn your back on assembling with the saints because of some problem that exists between you and another individual? Now, many times when I would point that out to somebody, it didn't change what they were going to do. They continued to backslide and backslide and backslide until finally they just stopped serving the Lord and acknowledged they weren't going to serve the Lord. Other times, when they were faced with that reality, they came to realize, no, I'm really not saying that. I know I've got this difficulty with this brother. Maybe it's just hurt feelings in relation to brotherly kindness, in relation to affection for one another. I've got these hurt feelings, but that doesn't change the fact that I have a responsibility to the rest of the congregation. I have a responsibility to be here and encouraging whomever the preacher might be, whoever might be with us to sing songs of praise and pray together, communing with the Lord at the supper. Whatever might be going on between me and another individual, it's my responsibility that I make sure that I maintain that brotherly kindness, that affection toward them. And even if it doesn't ever get to the depths that I would like it to be, even if they've hurt my feelings and I can't get over those hurt feelings, I have a responsibility to get over it. I have a responsibility to make sure that it's not something that's interfering with my spiritual growth and my interaction with others within the congregation. And so, if you look around at times and just, you know, we keep attendance, not like we're wanting to attract people, but because we want to look, and anybody is available, anybody can be, go to the clipboard on the stand there in the foyer, they can look through the attendance and look for patterns of individuals that aren't assembling with us as regularly as they might, and inquire with them as to why they're not doing so. And then, if necessary, take action to talk to them, to encourage them to be a part of the assembly, to be a part of the congregation they said they wanted to be a part of. And if it is this matter of brotherly kindness, well, you might not want to initially say what I just said a moment ago. They need to get over it. You need to help them to get over it so that it won't hinder their growth and that it won't hinder their spiritual development. When we talk about this, another sign of the decay is the idea of just speaking ill of each other. I'm not talking about when problems arise, when sin arises that needs to be addressed and needs to be talked about and needs to be handled. Perhaps on a very private basis, maybe even on a larger basis. But I'm talking about when it just becomes our practice to just abandon brotherly kindness with somebody and just be willing to express that disregard for them to them, and then express that disregard for them to anyone who's willing to hear us. Two things to consider here. The one who has allowed their lack of brotherly kindness to put them in that position needs to realize the sinfulness of it. And the other thing is, this gets really close to the idea of whispering and backbiting and slander and gossip, etc. Those who might be recipients of an individual expressing their ill will toward another, it's our responsibility to stop them in their tracks. It's our responsibility to say, you know, this really isn't my concern. This is between you and that brother or sister, and you've got to get it straightened out. You've got to get it where it's not hindering you. It's not interfering with your spiritual growth in the Christian graces. So I think we can see that as one of the signs. Another that I'd like to suggest is the idea of it simply ignoring other people's feelings or convictions on various matters. It's easy for us sometimes, and I realize it depends on the personality of an individual, and for some it's easier than others, and for some it's almost impossible. But it is easy at times for some people to simply say, well, here's how I feel, and I don't care what anybody thinks about it, and if it's going to hurt their feelings, then it's going to hurt their feelings. We're going to say more about that in a few minutes with regard to some matters of Scripture in Romans and in the Corinthian letter. But just to say at this point, recognize that we need to be careful when we observe somebody who is ignoring the feelings of someone else, who is ignoring the convictions of someone else, and just wanting to run roughshod over them, then there's brotherly kindness that is at issue with them. And it's important that we be willing to talk to them about it. It may well be that someone has slipped into that lack of brotherly kindness. They've slipped into it to the point where they don't realize that's what they're doing. And it may be that they're doing it on a very isolated, they're doing it in very isolated instances, but they're doing it. My own personal experience is it's often they don't stop with one person. When they're done with one person, they'll go to another and another. And pretty soon what they're doing is just disregarding everyone's feelings. And they're just charging on without any regard for the feelings and convictions of others. And that's just not having brotherly love. It's not fulfilling what we talked about in Romans, the 12th chapter this morning. In honor, preferring one another. That's what's required of us as children of God. And then what can happen oftentimes is they become very quick to divide. There are times when situations arise where we simply need to leave and find ourselves in a better frame of mind, if you will, a better environment to do what we want to do to grow as children of God. But it better be as a result of prayer. It better be as a result of doing all we can to make sure that this is an end result. I'm talking about the person that doesn't take much thought about it. Usually it's someone who has a temper problem. Usually it's someone who is simply looking for a chance to pick a fight here, there, or somewhere else. And oftentimes it's been my experience that it's connected with some of the things that were just listed. They themselves are no longer coming to church. They're not going anywhere to church. They themselves are individuals who are more than willing, if you go and talk to them, they're willing to tell you ill things about another person. In other words, they're not showing any brotherly kindness and affection. And so therefore, they're ignoring the feelings of others. And when I mean divide here, I'm talking about wanting to divide a congregation. I'm not talking about the simple need, like I said a moment ago, of finding a place to be at peace as they worship God. They want to divide the congregation. And many times it's simply because they fail to have brotherly kindness in their lives. With all of those things said, remember what the proverb or the psalmist says in 131. How about 133 in verse 1? Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I would hope that it is the goal of everyone here to maintain unity as children of God because we seek to have brotherly kindness among us. The other thing I want to mention this evening as we consider this whole idea of brotherly kindness is the love that is to take place in the actions of our lives. Brotherly kindness, brotherly affection is going to allow us to endure hardships. I grant you that when we talk about hardships in the Scriptures, and we're going to look at a couple of Scriptures, those were environments, those were incidences that we probably will never face because of governments, because in the first century, the Christians were trying to grow among those who shared Jehovah God, but they were remaining as Jews and they were being very difficult on those who were coming to Christ. But nonetheless, the warning is there for us, and we need to take heed to the warning. Over in Acts 2 and verse 46, after those who obeyed the gospel, so they continued daily with one accord in the temple, in breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. What they were doing is gaining strength among themselves. They were helping each other to grow in that brotherly kindness and that affection for each other. And when we do that in today's environment as well, what we're doing is we are guarding ourselves against the pressures of the world around us. Paul mentioned to Timothy in 2 Timothy the 2nd chapter in the 10th verse, therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul saw that as his responsibility. He saw that as his duty. Was it just because Paul was an apostle? I think not. Was it just because Timothy was the evangelist that studied at the feet of the apostle? I think not. I think the instruction here has application for us as well. It should be our desire to be aware of and concerned about the well-being of the elect. And remember, that's what every child of God is. We are the elect of God. And we should want to do all we can to build and strengthen each other up and endure any hardships that might come in our lives. I think it's also important that we practice self-denial. Both this morning and now the things that I've said this evening really center around the idea that when we've got this idea of brotherly affection or brotherly kindness or brotherly love, depending on the various translations, when we've got that down in our lives, when we've got it increasing in our lives, we're going to find more often than not, we become less important. Others become more important. What's best for them? What will strengthen them? What's going to build them up? That becomes important. On something like the eating of meat, Paul made the point in 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, in verse 13. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat again, lest I make my brother stumble. Now, for you and I, that's not an issue today. We're not around the temples of idols. We're not coming out of Judaism where we wouldn't eat pork and certain other kinds of animals or fish. But the lesson is applicable in other parts of our lives that he puts forth both here and over in the 10th chapter. And that is quite simply that I'm going to take into account the things that are important for my brother or sister in Christ. Things that I would be allowed to do by the grace of God, by the permission of God, I'm not going to do because it will have an ill effect on this person. I'm not talking about the idea of placating a selfishness on someone else's part, a spoiled attitude. I'm talking about those who truly have scruples and problems about certain issues that are of indifference to God, and I'm going to consider those as I interact with them so that I don't do anything that in any way is going to do something to tear down the brotherly affection and kindness for the other. A little bit of a lengthy reading is there in Romans the 14th chapter, beginning in verse 15. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Just those two sentences alone show us the importance of what we're talking about here in self-denial. He is equating it with the idea of walking in love. He's equating it with the idea of the one whom Christ died for. Be aware of them and be conscious of their needs and denying for ourselves at times things that we might be able to do. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. That edifying one another, again, brotherly kindness in our relationship, tenderheartedness with each other. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. That goes back again. The same problem is being addressed that Paul had addressed to the Corinthians. He says, it is good neither to eat meat or drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Why is that possible? Because if we're taking in all of what's involved in growing in brotherly kindness, we're going to practice self-denial. And therefore, we're going to be able also to truly bear up with the weaknesses of others. Again, in the Roman letter, the 15th chapter, verse 1, we who are strong ought to bear the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. What's interesting is sometimes we're called upon in obedience to this to be dealing with somebody who thinks they're the strong when in fact they're weak. And we've got to be humble enough to bear with them even though they think they're the strong one. Bear with them that we might be able to live at peace with them and to show them the brotherly kindness within our hearts. The passage we're all aware of is Galatians 6 and verse 1. Here it's more to the matter of sin. With the others, it happened to be the matter of various scruples. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. In the others, in 1 Corinthians 8 and then in Romans 14 and 15, we're talking about things that were judgments that one put upon themselves. Here we're talking about things that were involved in the sins of another, needing us to be there because of that brotherly affection, because of that kindness, because of that brotherly love. We care enough about them that we'll help them in overcoming the temptation. In fact, James shows us the value of this there in James 5 and 19. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Now, this passage isn't saying that the one that brought the brother back away from the abyss, that his sins get covered, but the one who is going into the sin, involved in the sin, when we pull them back, we're pulling them back from those sins, and we're helping to cover them in the presence of God by the blood of Christ. Paul reminds the Ephesians there in 4 verses 1 and 2, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness, gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Brotherly kindness allows us to bear for one another, allows us to be concerned about the spiritual welfare of others. The passage I mentioned a moment ago, we talked about this morning, Romans 12, verse 10. The last phrase there is to prefer one another. Why? Because of kindly affections within ourselves. Paul told the Philippians, there in Philippians 2. He says, beginning in verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Brotherly kindness cares about whether somebody is walking away from the Lord. Brotherly kindness cares about whether or not somebody is doing something that's going to be harmful for their well-being. Brotherly kindness doesn't shut up, sit back, and do nothing. Brotherly kindness is concerned for the spiritual welfare of others. As we consider the morning and evening lessons together, we recognize that indeed as we come to whether it's called brotherly love or brotherly affection or brotherly kindness, it's clearly something that's taught within the Scriptures. There are ways I think we can observe it in someone, and if we're really going to be aware, we might even observe it when it begins to come into our own lives. And then we make sure that we put our brotherly kindness, brotherly love, we make sure we put it into action. The passage I want to close with this evening is over in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and beginning at 16. By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us. And we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That's what we need to be doing if we're going to have brotherly kindness within our lives. The Lord willing, next Sunday, we'll conclude by looking at this agape that is at the top of the rung of Christian graces that we've been talking about. This evening we're about to sing a song of encouragement. If there's any in the audience tonight that understands what's necessary to become a child of God, and for whatever reason have not up to this point taken the steps to turn away from darkness and come to the light, then this is an opportunity to do so. If there's a child of God that desires that we pray with you about some matter, then let's pray together. But if you have a need to respond, we invite you to have a seat here at the front as we stand together and as we sing.